But first, Venezuela. So you all must remember how Trump talked about regime change during the campaign. He was very much against it, right? So in Florida, there's a clip from Fox News in which he says, quote, "We do not seek war. We do not seek nation building. We do not seek regime change." That's pretty clear, right? And he reiterated that a lot of places, including Dubuque, Iowa, where he said, quote, "We don't want to be the world's policeman." But, you know, the truth is never something that Donald Trump has embraced with much passion. And so, you know, we know now that those campaign promises about nation building and regime change and war were lies. And we know that, I mean, what's just happened in Venezuela, we already knew it, but Venezuela is kind of the icing on the cake. We know that this invasion has nothing to do with drugs, too. I mean, he's talking about drugs, right? It has to do with nothing. It has to do with power and control. And power is money, and specifically oil money. Control is his need to satisfy his narcissistic, you know, personality that wants to just manage everybody and always be praised for it. So, you know, and again, regarding oil, did a little digging here. The fossil fuel industry gave Trump and his affiliated PAC $75 million just this last election cycle, $75 million from big oil. That does not include the additional $19 million that big oil gave to Trump's inauguration. Oil industry also spent over $100 million to lobby both Trump and, of course, Congress for its interest in 2025. $100 million to lobby from one industry. So, yeah, this has to do with giving big oil a chance to finally claim the oil from the country that has more of it than any other country in the world. Yeah, look at this. A great chart here that Bill McKibben shared in one of his memos. 303 billion barrels of oil reserves in Venezuela. 303. That's way, way ahead of Saudi Arabia, the second biggest in terms of the reserves, the country with the second biggest amount of reserves. 267 billion barrels. And a barrel of oil is what? 42 gallons, I think. Iran is next. Canada's next. Yeah, well, if they were our 51st state, we could have that oil too, right? Iraq is next, then the UAE, then Kuwait, then Russia. And then, in what, ninth place, the U.S. with 74 billion barrels of oil reserves. So Venezuela is head and shoulders above everyone else in terms of how much oil it's got in the ground. And now apparently it's our oil. I mean, Trump's making, you know, when we've invaded countries in the past, we do a lot of that. Come on, let's, you know, America has done some good things in the world. We've also done some terrible things, and a lot of terrible things. And a lot of those, we justify sometimes on preventing communism, you know. But usually we're after resources. This time, the president and his accolade, his apologists, his sycophants, whatever, are not apologizing at all for why they're going in. It's about oil, you know. Now, interestingly, Trump is also making it clear that there are other countries that might be invaded. Now, this went so well. I mean, he's so excited about how well this went. He watched it on TV. He was so excited about how well it went. He's now talking about, well, Colombia, you know, Mexico, Greenland, Cuba. And these are all countries Trump's threatening. Now, none of those countries are on that list of top 10 nations with billions of gallons of oil reserves. But he has other gripes with Mexico. Greenland, actually, who knows what's under the ice in Greenland completely, but lots of minerals, key minerals. And Cuba, of course. I am surprised that Cuba has remained independent for so long, given how close they are to the U.S. and how contrary they are to our national interest. But so I will not be surprised to see Trump try to play some similar similar effort in Cuba and Colombia. I think going after Mexico and Greenland, and by Greenland I mean Denmark as well, that's going to be a little bit different. But we should not brush off these references as just a ranting of a madman. I mean, I think he really means it. And again, as I said, this is about two things: power and control. The power is oil. And if these nations are not where we're going to get oil, okay, the power is oil, but also a lot of rare minerals. And Greenland, that may be one of the big reasons to go into Greenland for Trump. But a lot of it has to do with his ego, his narcissism. I mean, who else wants to put their name on everything? Coins, stadiums, national parks, the Kennedy Center. He's always asking whether or not there's room for another bust on Mount Rushmore. I mean, this guy is a pathological narcissist. And so even if these other countries don't have oil, his narcissism may lead him to invade them for some other justification. Probably in Mexico's case, it'll be for drugs. And you can make a stronger case that Mexico is a problem for drug trafficking into the U.S. And maybe I'll get in trouble for saying this, folks, but the biggest problem with drugs in the U.S. is that Americans use them. You know, we don't have to use them. Nancy Reagan, who I rarely praise, might have had it right when she said, just say no. I know it's more complicated than that. But again, if the market wasn't there, the traffic wouldn't be there. But to be clear, the traffic is not from Venezuela. You know, Venezuela plays a very, very minor role in the whole drug trafficking situation, and certainly not when it comes to opioids. You know, China and Mexico are much more central to opioid traffic than Venezuela. Venezuela, sure, when it comes to cocaine, they play a minor role. They play a bit role in manufacturing cocaine. But, you know, drug seizure data from the UN Office on Drugs and Crime shows that that Venezuela is not a very prominent supplier of cocaine to the U.S. Certainly not as much as some other South American and Latin American countries. So, you know, again, the evidence that drugs were the reason we went into Venezuela, it's not there. In fact, the facts are clearly in opposition to that contention. I know that was the original reason that Trump launched, you know, initiated aggression against Venezuela by attacking these boats that allegedly were carrying drugs. We'll never know because they were attacked and over 100 people killed. Before we have any idea, we don't know who they are. We don't know what they were carrying. And actually, maybe some people do, but that's never come to light. So we know that it's not drugs, because now that we're in Venezuela, you know, drugs aren't even mentioned. It's oil that gets mentioned over and over again. It's been really clear that oil is the reason we are there. Yet look at the lies. The politicians who are falling all over themselves to tell Trump he's great and that he did a great thing and that we needed to do this. Here's our governor here in Iowa, Kim Reynolds. Quote, for long, Americans have suffered because of the dangerous and deadly drugs flooding into our country from Venezuela. Okay, so again, that is factually wrong. The drugs flooding into our country from Venezuela. No, it's certainly not opioids. And only in a very, very limited sense is it cocaine. So, yeah, and Americans have suffered. I mean, blame the whole problem on the supplier, right? Don't blame the people who choose to take these drugs, all right? I guess that's a Republican way of doing things when you want to defend a president that you have to defend or your political career will be shot down. I mean, again, remember, Kim Reynolds, our governor, supported Ron DeSantis. So she's had to go the extra mile to repair the damage and to suck up to the president after doing something as horrible as supporting his opponent. So Grassley, I don't know how many people follow Chuck Grassley on Twitter, but he had this style he developed years ago, and he maintains his style where he does these bizarre abbreviations. And I'll try to read it verbatim, but I don't know if I can pull it off. Prez Trump directed military forces number two bring narco-terrorist Maduro to justice after his role in trafficking drugs, resulting in death of far too many Americans. 25 years ago, Venezuela was, all caps, a prosperous economy. Okay, so there's a couple things here. You know, again, Grassley just mimicking the Trump line that it's about drugs, you know. But then also throwing in the real reason, that's that Venezuela's economy was prosperous. That was back when U.S. oil companies had a strong foothold in the country and were able to basically dominate the country's oil industry. And again, the problem is that the industry was nationalized by Maduro's predecessor, Hugo Chavez. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. I want to give you one more quote here. Zach Nunn, our congressman here in central Iowa, Maduro was a narco-terrorist who took over Venezuela as an illegitimate dictator. His gangs are responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. He will now face justice. Okay, again, just it's almost like Trump just handed Republican members of Congress and the U.S. Senate, here's the talking point that you must use. And they're all like saying it. I mean, again, Maduro was a lot of things. He's not a narco-terrorist. He may be an illegitimate dictator. I don't think many people outside of his base in Venezuela feel very strong, very positive about him. But his gangs are responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. Okay. You know, what these leaders seem to want to ignore, these Republican leaders want to ignore, is if people, you know, again, if people didn't take these drugs, there would be no drug cartels. Okay. Because it's all their fault. It's all Maduro's fault that, you know, hundreds of thousands of Americans have suffered. Okay. So, you know, and there's no more proof needed that Trump is being a hypocrite about this drug thing. But if you want a little more evidence, and this has been talked about, but I'll reiterate it. Pardoning the former president of Honduras, Juan Hernandez. You know, Hernandez was serving a 45-year prison sentence because a jury, last March of 2024, found him guilty of conspiring to import cocaine into the U.S. We're talking about 400 tons of cocaine. And we're talking about, Hernandez had this deal with the drug cartels, taking millions of bribes. I mean, you know, you obviously don't really give a dang about Americans who die from drug overdose if you're freeing up a guy who the courts found guilty of, you know, trafficking over 400 tons of cocaine. So, I mean, you are all hypocrites. You don't give a dang about people afflicted with drug addiction. This is not about stopping drug trafficking. This is about, again, power, meaning oil and rare earth minerals, and control. Again, remember Trump, again, during the campaign, repeatedly saying he was against regime change, against wars, against being the world's policeman. Now what is he saying? He will, quote, run Venezuela until there's a, quote, safe, proper, and judicious transition. And I'm not going to play the clip from you where he butchers the word judicious, but remember he aced his cognitive test, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that he can manage the word judicious in a judicious manner. Anyway, that was a horrible pun. Sorry, folks. So, he's going to run Venezuela. And this fast, I was assuming that the woman who got the world, the Nobel Peace Prize, that she would be welcomed back in and given the, you know, handed the seat, you know. But no, Trump and company are handing the presidency to Maduro's second in command. So somebody from his administration, this is Delcy Rodriguez. She's now been sworn in as the new president, you know. Sworn in by Venezuelans, presumably under the cold watch of the U.S. military. I mean, talk about election fraud. I don't doubt that there was election fraud in Venezuela. But gosh, this beats all. So Trump says, quote, about Delcy Rodriguez, she's essentially willing to do what we think is necessary to make Venezuela great again. And that's what it's about. It's what Trump thinks is necessary to make Venezuela great again. And that is to let the U.S. oil companies come in and take over. And we know where that money's going to go. You know, you're not going to see a lot of that stay in Venezuela. As the tiny upper crust of the wealthiest Americans and the wealthiest oligarchs in, of the world have, you know, as that, again, what did I read recently? That a few decades ago, maybe back in the 70s, the average CEO salary was, what, 20 times that of their, you know, average worker? Now it's 300 times. So, you know, where is the oil money going to go? It's going to go to the upper crust, you know. And I think most Venezuelans realize this. You know, there are lots of posts about people, you know, shouting in the streets and rejoicing that the U.S. has come in and saved them from Maduro. And a lot of those, actually, I want to share this with you. There's there's an AI, you know, I like to look at AI once in a while just to just to see what AI has to say about itself. So I can't find it right now, folks, but it was basically AI was saying that, yeah, all kinds of fake AI-generated, you know, memes and videos about Maduro and about Venezuelans cheering for his departure. All so much of that is just fake. There's a lot of it being generated. No doubt. No doubt. And that was from AI. Oh, yeah, here we go. Many of the widely circulated videos claiming to show Venezuelans inside the country happily celebrating a U.S. attack and the capture of Maduro are fake or misleading. Often using AI-generated content or old footage, however, there are also verified videos of Venezuelan expatriates celebrating the news in other countries. Okay, that's from AI. AI being used to pretend that Venezuelans are ecstatic about Maduro's removal. But there are some legitimate ones, and those are about Venezuelans who live in the U.S. or other countries. So, anyway, you know, I put up a post on Facebook about this, and I don't normally get this kind of traffic, but over 200 comments. I want to share a few of them with you and some of the responses too. Again, my audience is pretty broad. And yeah, Frank writes, Ed, what do you call 100 to 200 of your fellow citizens dying each year to opioid overdose? I'm thinking that's the evil, not Trump. Okay. As noted, it's not about drugs. Janet says, the people of Venezuela are celebrating so many videos on Twitter. Okay, Janet, as I noted, according to AI, most of those videos are fake. So, Benj writes, Ed, do you realize that most Venezuelans have been praying for this day? And Nancy writes, how does the Democrats not know what has been happening in Venezuela? I'm not even quite sure what that means. We know that Maduro is not an upstanding leader. We suspect that the last election was probably stolen. We know a thing or two about stolen elections in this country, don't we? Yeah. Kent says Trump just plucked his evil POS out of there, and if you can't figure out from the reaction of Venezuelans, you are completely blinded by TDS. That's a Trump derangement syndrome, which is just another type of name-calling along with evil POS. And I responded to Kent. My thought, you know, I thought Trump's base was against regime change wars. If it's all responsible to pluck out any foreign open, quote, evil POS, there are lots more countries for Trump to invade, including Russia and China. Joel made a comment that I think I agree with. He says, quote, I would suggest that this is simply the first clear demonstration of the end of Pax Americana, the so-called rules-based international order following World War II, and the return of great power competition. This is an early shot in a new era of resource wars. I think he's right about that, and that's disturbing, but again, probably accurate. Frank says, Ed, Trump said Venezuela stole our oil platforms or rigs. So I Googled this. Venezuela did not, open quote, steal America oil platforms in the common sense, but rather nationalize its oil industry in the 70s and 2000s, which involved seizing assets and operations from foreign companies, including U.S. firms. So, Ed, this sounds a bit like we are taking back what belonged to the U.S. in the first place. Okay. In the first place. Well, whose land is that? Whose resources are those? Why did our oil companies get in there in the first place and quote, you know, create these assets? It's called nationalization. And it's a country saying, hey, you know, these resources, this land, this industry was illegitimately taken from our people, and we're going to return it. And there's a long history. You should do a Wikipedia search for nationalization. The list is incredibly long. And the list just for Venezuela. I mean, it was in 2007, May 1st of 2007, the government of Venezuela stripped the world's biggest oil companies of operational control over massive Orinoco Belt crude projects. That was done by Hugo Chavez. The next year, Chavez ordered the nationalization of the cement industry. So it goes on and on. And, you know, the one place I know a little bit more about than Venezuela is Guatemala. I studied this years ago. So the big fruit companies back then, Dole, Del Monte, Chiquita, they had gained control over much of Guatemala's farmland. They did that through manipulating government officials, influencing the media, all done behind closed doors and backed up by the threat of force. And this caused an incredibly lopsided situation in terms of land distribution, land ownership, with these big fruit companies owning much of the land and poor farmers dependent upon bananas for export and making very little money at it. So in 1952, a democratically elected president, Jacobo Arbenz, he redistributed specifically unused land holdings that belonged to these big fruit companies that wasn't being used. He redistributed that land to landless peasants. And some of that included uncultivated land owned by the United Fruit Company. So that ticked off the United Fruit Company, Big Banana, let's call it, and they lobbied the U.S. government to intervene, and they obliged. The U.S. government led it was a CIA-orchestrated coup, and in 1954, that coup overthrew the duly elected government of Jacobo Arbenz, installing a pro-business military ruler who promptly reversed all those land reforms and returned the land to the big fruit companies. That's how we work, folks. That's how our government accomplishes regime change. And again, sometimes under the guise of preventing communism from spreading, sometimes under the guise of preventing drugs from being trafficked. But really, in the end, it's all about the money. It's all about making sure that big industries, in this case, banana. And where do you think the name Banana Republic comes from? Banana Republic, it's our creation. We create banana republics by using our military and other resources to install a government that's friendly to the big corporations that we are beholden to. So the new government in Guatemala, Armas, he was a suppressive dictator. And by the 1960s, he was so bad, there was active revolt among the Guatemalan peasantry. And that lasted for over 30 years. You know, and I remember this very well through the 90s. You know, and there were about 200,000 people killed. And mostly those were native people, no native Guatemalan people, Mayan people. So in 1965, what do? We say, oh, we're going to fix the problem we created? No, we're going to make it worse. We helped modernize the dictator's troops, and that resulted in more kidnappings, more assassinations, including farm workers, student activists, Catholic priests, and labor leaders who were opposed to the U.S.-installed puppet, the pro-Big Fruit government. So more people were killed in this conflict in Guatemala than in any other Latin American war. And is that what we want in Venezuela? Yeah, again, except instead of bananas, it's now oil. One more comment from my Facebook post from Anne. If we just start going in and kidnapping leaders and running countries, what's to stop someone from doing it to us or to Zelensky? It wasn't our place to do this. You know, and maybe that leads to a good question. What would Jesus do? You know, all the Bible thumpers who support Trump, what would Jesus do? Well, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Do we really want, would we tolerate somebody coming into our country, sneaking into the White House and kidnapping President Trump and Melania in the middle of the night? Would we support that? No, I mean, I cannot stand Donald Trump. And I would be very much opposed to that. I can't imagine how we would feel if that happened to us. So yeah, it's okay we do it to somebody else. Well, again, what happens next? I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be good. And I think we should pay attention to what happened in Guatemala decades ago. This is not going to be good for the Venezuelan people, for the Venezuelan economy. It's not going to be good for stability throughout South America, throughout Latin America, or what Trump prefers to call our hemisphere. Yeah, again, Marco Rubio told NBC's Meet the Press that, quote, we expect to see more compliance and cooperation than we were previously receiving. So in other words, if Venezuela doesn't bow the knee to Trump, doesn't do what we want as we, quote, run the country, it's only going to get worse. Now, not a great way to start the year, folks, but that's my take on it for what it's worth.